discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Yahoo.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, they do these reports now about old people and the heat. Yeah. I like in general where society tries to sort of look after its retarded portion of its population. You know, like these sort of PSAs where, hey, there's that big glowing orb in the sky that emanates heat. Yeah, it's called the sun. And sometimes there's that glass thing with the liquid metal, and it rises up. Now, when it gets around 100, you should drink this clear liquid. It's known as water, and there's this thing called an air conditioner that was invented in the 40s. You should turn one of those on.
Lost me with the metal liquid. Do you mean the numbers that flash outside a bank? It says the time.
It's the same thing. That's a newer version of the same thing. I'm just saying, you hear these reports because it's hot in most parts of the country where they tell old people stuff like, don't wrap yourself in foil and run in place. You know what it's like? Hey, listen, if you're going to get killed because it's 94 degrees, see you later. I don't need that part of the population.
One of the most dramatic cases I took care of as an intern was a old lady with a heat problem.
But let me ask you this, Drew. This is what I was saying because I was thinking about my grandmother, and you know, because she's a Corolla, no air in the place. And you know, they do this stuff. The elderly have to be careful about the heat. But I thought, which is it with the elderly? By the way, because my grandmother's wearing a parka when it's 70. You know, I could remember my grandfather. You know, it's literally 75 degrees outside. He has like a thick sweater on. He's got a blanket over his legs. Looks like a Winston Churchill. You know, it's okay. What is it? Are you cold or are you hot? It's got to be one or the other. It can't be both. Can it be both?
It's both.
You're gonna die. You're gonna die if it gets over 95. But if it gets to 80, you're freezing your ass off. You're wearing a sweater constantly. Which is it?
Yeah.
It can't be both.
Well, how about
it's got to be one or the other. That's what I'm saying. Old people declare high or low.
Same applies to the fluid situation. They get fluid overloaded real easily, get swelling, and they get short of breath, or they get dehydrated real easily.
Well,
same deal.
I don't hear the commercials for those.
Don't worry. I'm gonna lead a campaign.
I'm just saying, if people have to be told to step out of the sun and into the shade, if they have to be told to turn, I like these kind of warnings. You know. Turn a fan on. Open a window.
Oh.
Wow. I was like, hold on. Where's my scratch pad? What do you call that last thing? A window. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. I can never get over this. It comes every year. My feeling is when I'm in charge, if you can't figure out the fan and the window thing, we don't need you. Do we really need this person? Is this a great mind? Mm-hmm. Are they curing anything? Grandma over there with the ceiling fan. I'm surprised more people aren't killed by those ceiling fans each year.
Or get their hands cut off or something.
You know, I got a ceiling fan that's like a replica from the 1800s kind of thing. It's cast iron, holds like 6 gallons of oil and stuff. It would just go right through your back.
Yeah.
I'd be like, if that thing fell while I was asleep, I'd wake up, I'd be Christopher Reeves when I woke up. I mean, it would just paralyze you.
Yeah.
Why don't more of these things fall off the ceiling? They're sitting there wobbling all night. They're wobbling for 10 hours at a time, times 50 years. Shouldn't this be an epidemic?
You're the construction guy.
Well, when I put mine on, I put a, like carriage bolts and through bolted it, and you know, lock washers. I went nuts because I'd eat a pot brownie line in my bed and stare at the thing waiting to die, like the sword of Damocles waiting to come down on me. But I'm just thinking more people ought to get killed by these things
each year.
I'm going to see to that when I'm in charge, Drew. All right, you ready
to replace the heat warnings with the ceiling fan warnings?
Yes, that's where I want the effort. That's where I want to put the. They're right over the bed. They're over everyone's bed. Some of them, when I just got back from the Bahamas, there was two of them in my room, and the ceiling was vaulted, and the things were like 14 feet off the ground. I mean, they come down, they would just, you'd just be sleeping on your back, the thing go right in your nuts, spinning. It'd be like a jet engine coming off a plane and just plowing you out on the tarmac. I'm shocked that more people aren't killed by this.
Right.
Travis?
Yeah.
Turn your whatever down.
What's going on?
Well, when I have an erection, I can't keep it up for very long.
See, the ceiling fan.
That's the problem?
You get it caught in the ceiling fan.
No, mine's wobbling pretty good right now, though.
Your ceiling fan.
You're looking at it.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
How many of our listeners are looking at a ceiling fan right now thinking, oh, my God.
I'm looking at mine.
All right, Travis. Well, we don't quite understand what you're saying. Do you masturbate for 10 minutes, and then what?
Well, it's during sex and, like, when I masturbate, too. It's like I can, like, it'll be, like, hard for, like, 10 minutes or longer, and then it'll just slowly go dead.
Well, if you're masturbating, you need it for 10 minutes? You need it that long?
He doesn't have an orgasm, though.
Yeah, I don't
know.
No
orgasm. And when you say 10 minutes, you mean 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Have you ever?
Well, put it this way. This show has not been on the air yet 10 minutes, if you can believe that or not.
Shocking.
My rant about the elderly and sweaters and ceiling fans, not even 4 minutes old. Do you know what I'm saying? Is it really 10 minutes you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm, like, having sex.
You ever had an orgasm?
Yeah.
You have had. And
this is just, like, happened, like, a week or two ago. So, I mean, it's just, like...
Has anything changed in the last 2 weeks? Any new medication?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's, like, progressively gotten worse.
Have you been on any medication the last couple weeks?
No.
Used or stopped using drugs or alcohol?
Well, I got stitches last Sunday.
For what?
I got stitches last Sunday in my hand, that's all.
In your hand?
No.
Are you taking pain pills for that?
No. I got a tetanus shot.
No, not in your penis, huh? So, have you ever successfully masturbated?
Oh, yeah.
It's just 2 weeks. And it started after you sliced your hand up?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, really. Like,
it wasn't your
like
penis
that,
to cut your hand.
So, it happened two weeks ago?
Yeah.
Weren't the stitches out of your hand?
Huh?
Are the stitches out of your...
No, this happened like last Sunday.
Hold on a second.
10 days ago.
Let me tell you my vibe on Travis. I can't tell if it's, like, bogus, or he's not really interested in his own penis, or he's distracted. Is there something, or he's just a little, like, he got, like, a ceiling fan landed on him when he was a kid? He's sort of, he's not that interested in an answer, is he?
Didn't
What's up
like
with
it.
Him?
Yeah.
All right, Travis, hang out for a while. I have no interest in Travis.
Danny.
Let's just tell him what to do.
Well,
his penis
it may be absolutely nothing. Maybe he's just going through a lull after having had his hand sliced up. Maybe he took some medicine while he was in the hospital that affected his
Get some new porn. Give it a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And if not, then you go see your doctor.
All right, there you go.
Danny?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yep.
What's up?
Nothing. I just wanted to say that I've been with...
I beg your pardon?
Happy birthday, Ashley.
Alright. Whose birthday is it?
Not mine.
When's your birthday?
September 4th.
That's coming up, right?
Mm-hmm. Scary.
You gotta get that. Gotta get you a present this year.
No, not why.
Get you a decorative salad bowl.
Ooh, porcelain dog or something?
We make a great couple, me and you, Drew.
Huh.
Sit around not getting each other anniversary gifts, wedding gifts.
I just talk about cars.
Me yelling about cars at you. Drew's such a puss. He loves cars, but he can't let himself get one.
Mm.
He won't get a second car. John?
Yo.
You're 30?
Yeah. I have a great story for you.
All right.
I think I'm a day off, but you were talking to some fella yesterday about he kept farting and such, and he was actually frightened by it, which I'm actually offended by. I was in Luby's. It's a cafeteria type thing out here, like Furs. All right, you're familiar with it.
Yeah, I am.
All right, so I go in and I take a grumpy. It's a bad one. I'd had some fruit myself, actually.
Yeah.
Elderly man walks in. All I hear is, oh son of a MLB. I don't want
to
curse on the air for
sure.
You. Sure. Anyway, I walk out, and there's this guy to be 80 years old, fell in a black top, you know, the white collar. Catholic priest. I offended the Catholic priest with my stench.
Oh, really? It was a priest that was,
was
a screaming.
Priest. He's leaning.
He was using the Lord's name.
He's actually standing at the urinal. So he's leaning on the wall, just kind of shaking his head as I walk by. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm thinking I felt pretty manly.
Yeah, that's I mean, that's a distinction. You wear that like a badge of honor. I don't know if that gets you a one-way ticket to hell or not. I think it does. I do the courtesy flush when I'm in public, so it's never, the damage is only so great.
And why don't those work more than they do?
I don't know.
Take any other substance and flush it down the toilet. It won't fill the room.
There's two things that we really need to get to the bottom of. Why aren't more people maimed or crushed or killed by ceiling fans each year?
Yes.
Well, I mean, what celebrity's ever gone by ceiling fan? Do you know what I mean? You don't hear about it. What rock star? What friend of the family?
Never.
You never hear. You've never heard anyone taken by ceiling fan. Yet there should be thousands each year by my estimations. And why doesn't the courtesy flush work better? You take the crap. You're taking the crap, and as it's hitting the toilet, you flush it. It sucks down, really, the lion's share of the trouble.
100%.
It's all gone. You look down, you're looking at clear water, and it still smells pretty bad. Now, I understand there's gas involved, but it should be better than what it is. You know what toilets need? Toilets need a
vent.
Yeah.
Like the ovens, like a big...
Convection? Oh, you mean like a ceiling fan? Not a ceiling fan, but a vent.
Vent.
Yeah.
But like those Viking stoves have things that comes up.
Yeah. It's good. Write that down.
Adam's Book of Inventions.
Dan.
Hey, how's it going,
Hey,
guys?
You're 27. Hold on a second.
Uh-oh.
Look, I've talked to like 128 guys tonight, Drew. All right. Talk to Shonda. Shonda?
Hi.
Aww.
What's the matter?
What's the matter?
Nothing. Oh, by the way, my ceiling fan does not wobble.
That doesn't. That means it's ready to come off.
Okay.
You leave it on all night?
Yeah, we leave it on. Well, sometimes.
And by the way...
And it's over your bed?
No.
Ceiling fans,
our living room.
Inventions of the late 70s. Can't we do away with them now?
No, they work. They're nice. They work well.
Okay, anyways... My ex-boyfriend and I were going out for like a year and 2 months, and I found out that I was pregnant in May last year.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I found out that I was pregnant, he like really bad time avoided me.
Bad time.
Yeah, bad time. Mm-hmm. We went to the fair, and my ankles were swollen and had fluid all around them, and he like left me behind. That's how bad he ignored me.
Yeah.
And then in September, he broke up with me. And we've been sleeping together since the last 9 months that our son's been born. And he takes care of our son. He, like, gives me $100 for child support, and that's, like, not even through the child support agency or anything.
Ooh.
And he takes him one day out of the week over to his house, which is tonight.
Yeah.
And he takes care of him and stuff. It's just... Whenever he broke up with me, I was really bad down depressed about it, and I cried myself to sleep every night, and I was just wondering if, like, I'm supposed to be feeling this way, because, like, he took and bought me a promissory ring, and we talked about getting houses and how many children we were going to have and everything together.
Uh-huh.
But that was before the baby.
Yeah.
And now he's done.
Now, like, it's hard to even to get a hold of him during the week.
But he still has sex with you.
Yeah.
He's a dynamite individual and a great loving father. I'm sure will be a great role model to your child one day.
This is the denial that women get into. You have to stop having sex with him. You've got to get on with your life with someone else, develop a new relationship. This guy's not going. This is not going anywhere with him.
Let me say this: you don't need anybody else for a little while. This is the main cause of your problems in life, this somebody else thing.
Yeah, except for...
It's hard to tell 17-year-old chicks that.
Well, also, when people have studied what women need in terms of being able to satisfactorily provide for the children on an emotional level...
Right.
The number one thing these researchers say they would offer a woman is a mate. Somebody to support them.
Yeah, it'd be nice, but she's going to get some guy who's dealing hash out of the kid's diaper. and got a, you know, primered El Camino. He parks on the lawn.
Yeah.
I don't trust your choice in men, Shonda. What you got to do is get your ass together. Forget about this guy. You made a mistake with this guy. He's not a good guy.
Thank God he's taking care of the kid.
Thank God he has some, even
humanity.
If it's a sort of marginal interest in his child, sees him once a week, gives you $100 now and again. What a saint.
He won't even give him up. I've tried to talk to him about signing over his paternal rights to me.
Why? Why do you want him to do that?
So I can change Kyle's last name.
But it's the one thing he's doing is being a father.
Yeah, but...
Why do you want to change his name? This guy Jewish?
So, no.
Oh, shocking.
So he doesn't take it.
Hold on, not Jewish? This is the act of a Jew, Drew. I can't believe this. Every 19-year-old Jewish dude I know did this. Moved to Arkansas, knocked up some hillbilly chick, and didn't take...
Hey, that's not funny.
Well, it's funny to everyone else.
It's not funny to
you. It's not funny to you, because you're living it.
But Chanda...
Where's your screw-up dad?
Oh, yeah.
My dad is not a screw-up dad. My dad takes care of me perfectly. My dad was just diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah. Well, what happened? Yeah, what went wrong?
He was out of your life at some point. Right?
No,
he was in your life the whole time?
My dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad's still with me.
Your parents still together?
Yeah.
What's your mom like?
She's okay, I guess. There's times when she can be hectic.
Hectic.
I'm picturing her like a granny from the Beverly Hillbillies, but, you know, in her 40s. All right, listen, Sean, I'm sorry to hear about your dad and the cancer, and you need to not get pregnant for a long, long time.
Oh, I don't plan on getting pregnant ever again.
Yeah, I know, but...
a 10-pound baby.
Let me tell you. Oh, okay, good. I hope it broke something when it came out. So the point is this guy, you're going to have to start looking for other guys because this ain't the guy. Okay?
Are you sure?
Yeah. Really, I'm sorry.
Really,
I know it hurts. I know you love him.
But he's not in. He's just because he's having sex with you does not mean he's having any feelings.
Yeah.
You got to accept that. Guys can do that. In fact, that's how they're put together. No problem.
What's he do for a living just for kicks? Something with a forklift?
No. He works at Sonic right now, but he took in... quit working at, he had a managerial position at a retail store in the mall in Fayetteville, but they weren't paying him what he was supposed to get paid, and he quit.
He took it to quit?
He was working at a where?
Retail store.
No, before that. Sonic?
He's working at Sonic now.
Uh-huh, Sonic. Oh, yeah, yeah. Drew and I drive through Arkansas on our way home every night, and we see the Sonics. Yeah, the big Sonic retail.
There's a lot of them.
He has a lot of them over there. Sonic what?
What Sonic?
The one in Huntsville.
Oh, Huntsville.
Okay, well, why did you say so?
Drew lives in Pasadena, so he goes to Huntsville, and I go by the college on my way home, so I don't see the Huntsville one.
The Huntsville one's not very big. It's like the only fast food joint in Huntsville.
Right, right. Okay, the Sonic Burger, right?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, baby.
All right,
you take care of that child of yours.
Something very likable about her, though.
Yeah. She had a sort of Anna Nicole Smith thing going.
Yeah. Have you seen that show?
Yeah.
Oof. I mean, what are they thinking?
What are they thinking? Why are they thinking ratings?
Are they getting them?
I don't know. I mean, there's going to be a certain curiosity.
Yeah, they'll go for a few weeks.
People are going to tune in just to see how fat she got, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's amazing about, she's got a lot of layers, that Anna Nicole Smith. She's I don't know what she was probably like almost retarded before the prescription drugs kicked in. You know, but she seems to be on the prescription drugs or something because she's sort of slurry.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she's really like, she's a lot like I'd imagine Howard Hughes was in his last days, except for she's 29, fat and platinum blonde. But she's like, and the thing that's weird is she's 220 pounds if she's an ounce, you know, but she still is wearing the ski pants and the sleeveless clingy shirts showing the midriff, which is funny. Which the thing you got to explain it. It kind of reminds me of seeing Tommy Lasorda in the baseball uniform.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, hey, listen, at a certain point, I know you wore it at one point. I know, but nope, now it's time to stop. Your ass is as big as a house. You cannot wear the ski pants anymore. You understand, I know the clothes are sexy. I'm not going to argue with that, but it's what's stuffing the clothes that's not sexy.
It doesn't look good anymore. It doesn't look good anymore.
It doesn't look good. You ever see that? You ever see the 75-year-old woman with the hair down to her ass and it's bleach blonde and it's like, no, not right.
Yeah.
Doesn't look right anymore.
Doesn't look.
Long hair, nice. Blonde hair, nice. Not on you.
Right.
Ski pants, sleeveless shirts, all nice things. Not on a 220-pound woman. And the thing that gets really weird is she made her living being a sort of a sex kitten. So she still has that mentality when the camera rolls, she's going to titillate the gents with the sex talk. But now she's got guns on her. She's like Lou Ferrigno, you know? So she's like, hey, I'm going to use this tub to do naughty things to myself. And I'm like, oh, no, please, no, don't. Please, don't do anything to yourself. I haven't been with a man 2 years. I have to go home and masturbate. I'm like, oh, no, now I can't masturbate. It's like, listen, ladies, we don't want to hump every single one of you. And we don't want to, furthermore, understand that we may have wanted to do unspeakable sexual things to you when you were 19. There's a point where we don't want to do that to you anymore. It's not all age-based. But Anna Nicole Smith is crossed over. She's crossed over, and someone has to alert her to that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. Her thing is like, hey, I got blonde hair. I got lipstick. I paint my nails. I got big cans. Even her cans are being dwarfed, though, by her arms and ass at this point. They now, whereas they used to sort of dominate her build.
How they fit.
It's like a shopping cart wheels on a SUV. I mean, they're being dwarfed by her arms and shoulders and ass. She's wearing these scams. And she has that, like, pathetic lawyer guy. And you know what? They always get the assistant that's fatter than they are.
Hmm.
That's the rule. If you're a celebrity who's having trouble with your weight, your assistant has to perpetually be 20 pounds more than you. Otherwise, you fire them. And they remind you of what you used to be. You can't have some hot little pixie floating around the house when you're built like a junior college linebacker. So she has this pathetic, like, sort of assistant. And by the way, does everyone need an assistant who's a celebrity, even if you're not working?
Yeah,
what I mean? Like, what's the assistant's
job?
Let me. Anna Nicole Smith. Her schedule's get up, drag fat ass out of bed. Go down, eat 70 bowls of Lucky Charms, drag fat ass upstairs, take a nap, talk about masturbation to camera, discuss possibilities of a bath, nap, eat rack of lamb, nap, take prescription drug, pass out. Where does the assistant come in? You know what I mean? Who do you need? Who are you, Merv Griffin? You buying hotels? You got plans? You got schemes? She's just, this poor fat chick just hangs out next to her all the time. Like, she's like one of those birds on a rhino, just hanging out next to her. And I know it's got to be, I know the deal is for every, like, 5 pounds Anna Nicole gains, she has to gain 7. So this poor chick is the only chick I've ever seen bigger than Anna is this chick. And she's got to keep piling it on. I'm telling you, if this chick lost 50 pounds, it'd be over between her and Anna. All right. It's a delight. And then the poor son's got to, like, show up at school. I mean, listen, my mom smoked a little weed, locked herself in the bathroom. That was bad enough for me. This poor guy's got to have Anna, like, looking in the camera going, I'm going to masturbate when I get home.
After she drops him off?
Wherever. The point is, the kid's, like, 13.
Oh, my God.
Hey, can you imagine? Hey, saw your mom on the tube last night talking about diddling her fat ass. Dry humping the dog.
Oh, my God.
Jumping in the tub in a pair of candies and, like, slopping around in there like a trout, you know. I mean, you should be able to sue your mom for this behavior.
Probably can.
And I don't think she's gotten any. Oh, I don't think she's gotten any of the money.
Oh.
And last night's episode, they had to. They're having a custody battle. You know, with she's having a battle with the guy's son,
right.
Her millionaire 90-year-old husband, that kicked off a few years ago. They had to split up the ashes. Ugh. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's right. They had the guy cremated.
They had a legal battle over what percentage of the ashes?
Well, who gets the ashes? Now, here's the way I think you got to do it. Hey, you could have legal custody battle with a kid. You don't cut the kid in half. Stays over at daddy's for the summer, then it's back over to mommy's. You take that urn, you move it around, becomes like the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, sure.
You know, Detroit has it for a year.
Competition going to for whoever.
Yeah, that goes back to New York, right? But they actually took the ashes, and I guess I don't know if you weigh them or count them or what you do, but they split up the ashes. So she's got an urn with half the ex-husband's ashes in it, and the son has the other half. So you don't know what parts are in there. You know, and in no way it's split down the middle. It's not like one nostril, one ear. It's just ash. You could have got nothing but ass and colon. It was a ridiculous show. I don't know if it's going to catch on. It's a little too ridiculous. Right. But it is fun to watch from a sort of train wreck.
Is it?
Yeah, just watch her slurring.
I get about 2 minutes and I'm like, oh. Sorry.
Slopping around and carrying that little dog. You know, well, that's the other thing. You need an assistant. You need a little dog that you make baby talk to.
Nice.
I will take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And I'll tell you, Drew.
Huh?
Yeah. It's about time to drop trowel. Yeah. I'll do it, too. I'm just crazy enough to do that. Yeah. All right, everybody. It's time to get back to those phones.
Went
to the dentist today.
No, I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah,
okay. Enough dentist. I mean, yeah. I have my ass full of
two dentists. Two fillings.
Yeah.
Two fillings.
Nate.
Hello?
You're 19?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been smoking fat for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be a sophomore in college this year. I go to college in 10 days. And like over the course of me smoking fat, I've noticed myself I'm not as smart as I used to be.
Right.
And basically, I would like to know if I quit, will those effects be reversed? I mean, could I?
Yeah, except they can get worse for a while, because in that first 6 months after you stop smoking pot, you can get a pretty serious mood disturbance, and that can make it more difficult to learn. But they have shown that there are significant memory problems while people are smoking pot, so it definitely can affect your academic performance. And the sooner you get off, the better. It just needs to be monitored rather carefully. And
how long have you been smoking pot?
The good news is it's recoverable, that memory problem.
I started when I was 14. Well, I first did it when I was 14. And then I got into it heavily when I was 16 or so. And I've been doing it a lot since then.
What college are you going to?
The University of Minnesota Morris campus.
Morris.
Yeah, it's a small town in Minnesota.
It's named after the cat from the commercial.
Yeah,
cat
Morris.
Hey, Nate?
1972.
Yeah.
All right, you're good, buddy. Just off the weed.
Ryan, you may need...
One more question.
You may not be able to stop, Nate. Marijuana is addictive for some people, and it needs treatment, though. It, because addiction means you can't stop, so be careful. What's your other question?
When I breathe deeply and when I cough and when I sneeze, there's a sharp pain like where I think my lung is.
Yeah. I doubt that's anything. One thing that people get from smoking pot is chronic bronchitis. Is you cough a lot, you can get chest wall muscle spasms.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty common.
Yeah, good times. Tracy?
Yeah?
You're 13?
Hey. Okay, I read BMX, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay, so I just started 2 weeks ago, and say I go off on a ramp, right, and I fall and I get hurt.
You go off on a what?
Ramp.
A ramp.
You riding ramps?
Yeah.
Started 2 weeks ago.
Well, not yet, but I'm planning to.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. You've been riding BMX for 2 weeks. You're not riding ramps yet.
Okay, say I fall off and hurt myself really, really bad in a place.
Right. Like something goes through you, like the handlebar pierces your heart.
Your spleen?
Well, I'm a girl, you know?
Oh, you don't have a spleen?
No. Okay, anyway.
Right.
For me being a girl, you know how guys are, like, tougher?
Tougher, right? Tougher?
Will it affect me worse? Like, for being a girl?
Well, no. You could get hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean,
women are actually tougher. In reality.
Well, women are probably more flexible than men.
Well, they can withstand more. They can deliver a baby and not be destroyed by it. Men wouldn't survive.
Yeah, but if I punched you and punched your wife would be more hurt by me punching.
That's true. Because that's more of a body, per unit body mass, they're probably more resilient, but they're smaller.
Well, I don't even know that. I mean, if you have a 120-pound flyweight boxer and a 120-pound woman.
Yeah, you're right.
I think the flyweight is going to be able to absorb more punishment as a male. So please. So anyway, Tracy.
Yeah.
Why do you want to do this BMX? This is are you a lesbian?
No.
Not yet. You're not. You ride a few of those ramps. You're going to be.
Oh, no, yes. I'm just like doing. I don't know. I've always been, like, a tomboy.
Tomboy.
Like, I've been into softball and basketball.
Right, she's going to be a supermodel.
Okay.
Right? Isn't that right. How you do that?
All right. Now, just wear your helmet, wear your gloves and your wrist protectors, your knee pads, and all that stuff.
There are obviously tons of opportunity to hurt yourself, particularly your brain, your head. So, that's the big concern. But you being a girl doesn't add the risk to that.
Hey, and let me give you a tip.
Okay.
Take the pegs off the bike before you hit the ramp.
Yeah, that'll probably work.
Yeah, good. I got to give this safety tip to all our screwball young BMXers who are listening. I haven't given this in many a year. But I told you one time when I was in Florida, I was in Orlando, and I was doing this special called Ordinary Extraordinary with John Ritter. And I don't know, some piece of crap show I wanted to go do, and they never offered me any money, and I did the pilot. I don't know if you ever even saw it, Drew.
Yeah, I saw it with the beetle on the treadmill that the animal activist freaked out about. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. That was I always consider that one of your peaking moments, where you voicing over the description of these animals doing weird things. And
I'll tell you.
Having to go back and redo it because the animal rights people thought you were being inappropriate.
Oh.
But you standing there in a tuxedo looked good. And
I'll
then the parade they gave for you down Main Street in the MGM Studios, I'll never forget it, I tell you.
Yeah, I did a parade at the Disney World, except for no one knew who I was, and I signed a thing in front of a fake Grauman's Chinese Theater in Orlando, and they put it in the back, you know, then put it out front with Dustin Hoffman. Put it in the back. They got a whole bunch of them, in case anyone ever hits, to slide it out front of the place, but I don't think mine's made it out front yet, but... No. Jared, remind me to talk to you about this off the air. But the point is I think Jay Muron or whatever the guy's name is, who at the time was the hot BMXer, was going to do was going to do like a 360 loop. He was going to do a flip on his bike, and he was getting 30 feet in the air, and he's trying to set a new record, and he kept crashing during practice. And I remember he was jumping his BMX bike, and his BMX bike had pegs, buddy pegs. Has them on the front axles, has them on the rear axles. These are billet aluminum lathe 4-inch projectiles that are on the front of the bike. There's two of them, and there's two of them on the back. And each time he ate crap, he had one of these pegs go up his ass. I mean, the guy would eat crap, he'd do the flip, he'd land, he'd get squirrely, he'd fly over the bike, then he'd land on the thing, and the peg would hit him in the ribs. And I was just sitting there watching, and I was thinking, you really need the pegs to do the flip? I mean, I understand the freestyle. I understand the floor exercise when you're out there and you're doing the freestyle stuff. But shouldn't you unscrew the pegs before you get up on the ramp? And I know there's certain grinders and things like that you want to use the peg for if you're on a half pipe or something. But if you're going for just a flip and it's ramp to ramp, meaning it's an Evel Knievel type maneuver, go ahead and take the sharp shards of metal that are in the front and the back of the bike. Go ahead and take those off in case you land on one. I don't know. Maybe that's part of the deal. I never told him he landed on three or four more times. He's got these pegs going into his ribcage every time he crashes. You couldn't think of it. You might as well just take sharp number two pencils and tape them to your steering wheel in case you get in a head-on collision.
Right.
It's the worst idea anyone's ever had. Jenny?
What?
And you absolutely don't need them when you're trying to do a flip on a ramp. Like, what are you going to do, put your feet up front or have your buddy ride on the handlebars while you do it?
What's up?
Hey, Jenny.
Hi.
Hey, you're 20, girl.
What's going on?
I am.
What is going on?
I have my boyfriend and I, we've been together about 5 months, and he real recently kind of lost interest in sex.
How long ago?
About a month ago.
A month ago. Anything else changed? Is he on medication? Changes diet and work schedule, workout schedule, anything?
No, not really. He, I guess he's been under, you know, a little bit of stress lately, and so I've kind of been backing off a little bit, giving him some space for that.
What's the source of the stress?
Multiple sources. Work is real hectic, and, you know, money gets tight sometimes. And, you know, it's working out, and it'll work out, and he'll be okay. But I think he just takes stress a little bit harsh sometimes. But my actual problem is that he, I came home this afternoon before he got home from work. And I guess he came on his lunch break or last night after I'd gone to bed some point, watched porn in our living room and left the tape in there. And I found Viagra the very same afternoon, which hadn't been there before.
Where'd you find the Viagra?
Up on his desk. It wasn't in his desk. I mean, it wasn't snooping, I swear.
Uh-huh.
It was just kind of laying out.
All right.
Like it had been used recently, and it's never been there before.
That's kind
and
of
I
wasn't behavior,
aware that he used it. Yeah, so I'm a little nervous about
that. Do you live with him?
Yeah, we do live together.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, he's how old?
29.
You guys been living together for how long?
I think like 2 months.
Could he be angry about something?
No.
He's angry?
No, I don't think he's angry.
That's sort of, you know what I mean?
Well, the Viagra part is a little bit curious.
Yeah.
Now, my question about the Viagra is, do you think he's fixed? And he has been for quite a while.
How old is he?
He's 29. We've said that 5 times.
Yeah, yeah.
But he has 2 children with his wife. He had them, you know, they were kind of an accident when he was real young.
Right.
And right after that, he...
Two accidents?
He was neutered. And so I'm wondering if maybe that has some bearing on his inability to have sex. And I'm hoping.
No.
You're panicking. You're reaching.
Here's what happens. Guys shack up with a chick, especially when it's new. We've talked about this before. Yeah. And they start to feel like the walls are closing in on them a little, and they want a little space, and they withdraw a little bit. They pull back.
Yeah.
They pull out of the relationship. So it's kind of weird. It's like they're living together, but they're going to pull out. They're going to compensate. Here's what I'm saying. Guys, a lot of guys, not all guys, but a lot of guys are much more present when they have a little distance from the woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see the woman twice a week, you're all there.
Yeah.
You're living on top of each other in a one-bedroom apartment,
and all of a sudden
they start pulling out.
Yeah, yeah.
So the sex slows down, and they find the guy 3 a.m. in front of the TV beating off, and it's like, you don't want sex with me, yet you're being... Yeah. He's trying to sort of assert
get himself back.
He's going to that place.
Yeah, yeah.
He's never been to me. Although I've been on me, and that's why I use a gym sock on my belly now so it doesn't stick on me.
Nice.
But I think that's what's going on. Now, the Viagra part, that's a tough part. I'm not sure about that. But, Jenny.
Yeah.
You don't think he's cheating, do you?
No.
If he was cheating, he'd be nailing you more.
Yeah, he'd be compensating for cheating.
I don't think he'd be cheating. I honestly think he's having a problem getting it up.
Ah, that's a reason guys avoid.
Could be.
Yeah,
which is why I'm thinking maybe that's why he's avoiding the actual sex thing. And
yes.
Yeah, could be. Well, just ask him about the Viagra. I mean, don't come flying at him with it. Just say you opened the drawer, you saw it, and you're curious about it.
Her level, my thing is, this is my concern, her level of preoccupation with him and her need for him to be okay is sort of too much. And and the kind of guy that would be with a woman like that, usually kind of an a-hole. You know what I mean? Think about who that is. He's got to be okay. He's focused on him completely.
You know, you take a 20-year-old woman and you dry the sex up a little. They get a little insecure.
Some of the things she said. He had a mistake with his previous wife. They just a mistake, so he had to marry her.
She's two
protecting.
Kids.
Yeah, two kids.
Okay.
So my guy might be kind of an a-hole and up to
Maybe. She didn't sound all that bad to me.
Codependent.
All right. Mm-hmm. We'll be back. right. The Wednesday night, some of the cast from Blue Crush, that surfing movie, is going to be in here, and I'm going to be excited about that because I love myself. I love those movies.
You missed the That's female surfers were up here. They were very, very good. And then we have Insane Clown Posse coming back.
Good times.
Oh, my God.
That's next week, Insane Clown Posse.
My God.
Mike?
Yeah.
You're 28.
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up?
I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
It's kind of a situation where you try and remember a piece of information, and you know how it kind of gets stuck on the tip of your tongue. Mm. You know, you know that you know the information, but it's just not coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened once about a year ago. I don't know if I just fixated on it too much, but it seems to be happening more and more.
Was it like finding a word, or what's the issue?
Yeah, I mean, for example, I was trying to remember the name of this actor, Matthew Broderick, and I knew that I knew his name. You know, I knew it was a Matthew. Could not remember his last. You know, just stuff like that. It just seems to happen more and more.
And for you, that was an unusual thing?
Yeah. I mean, I never really had that. It's just really simple stuff. Or if I'm asked something and I try and remember really quick, it's just gone.
Right.
It's like easy stuff. And I know
All right. Well, are you having panic or anxiety, anything like that, that might be affecting your ability to concentrate? Have you been depressed?
Not really.
Are you on any medication?
No, not at all.
Nothing. No medicine.
Taking drugs, nothing like that.
Do you have any medical problems?
As far as I know, no.
Well, hey, Drew, what? And how long has this been going on?
I've noticed it more within the past year or so. I don't know if I'm just sort of being a hypochondriac about it, if I've fixated on it once.
Yeah, I'm hanging up. Not hanging up, but on hold. Mm. I think you are.
I think if you were 40, I'd say definitely is, because it's normal for a 40-year-old to have some of that stuff. And at 29,
Also, your brain is sort of cyclical. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you have good days, bad days, even good months and bad months.
It warrants a medical evaluation just to make sure it's not something peculiar, thyroid condition, some sort of, God knows what, some unusual conditions. But it's something easily assessed, that's for sure.
Chris?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, Adam, Dr. Drew, you guys are like the best, and man, show is awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, my question is, like, I like masturbate like 10 times a day.
10 mm-hmm. times a day.
It's a little bit light. It's only 70 times a week.
I got pictures.
Pictures.
What?
Of what? Naked ladies?
Yeah, and a picture of this girl down the street, which I really like.
You took a picture of her?
Well, she gave it to me.
I see, all right.
How old is she?
15.
All right. And she took a naked picture of herself?
No.
Oh, just a regular picture?
Yeah.
Oh, you're beating off to like a wallet-sized yearbook picture?
Yeah.
Oh, but too bad women don't know this happened.
I love that.
Oh, my God.
Could that ever... Is there one woman in the history of humanity that's ever beat off to a guy's school picture?
I don't know.
Okay. So this is just a regular headshot with the blue background?
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. So what's the question?
And what do you do? You hold it? What do you do? You lay on your back? You hold it up?
Yeah, soda.
Yeah.
What's your question, Chris? Oh, we might soil it?
Wow. Mm-hmm. And don't you have a VCR in your house?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have one in your room?
No.
Okay. Yeah, you can't risk that.
I just wanted to know what's wrong with me.
Well, 10 times is a little compulsive. Has it been going on for a long time?
A few months.
You been depressed?
No, not at all.
Any history of sexual abuse?
No.
Physical abuse?
No.
And when you say 10, do you really mean 10?
On average.
On average. Some 12, some 8 days.
We
all have our 8 days.
Yeah, when I feel happy.
Yeah, something comes out of you?
10 times a day something comes out?
No.
How often does something come out?
I don't know, only a couple times. Sort of dry up.
All right. Hey, listen, what's he talking about? He's scratching his nuts the other 8 times? Listen, if you're beating off and nothing's coming out of you, that's not...
What's that called?
That's not an orgasm. That's nothing. That's called watching TV.
Okay.
I watch TV, I got my hands down there and playing with myself all the time. Like a retarded kid.
Oh, God.
Doesn't mean
anything.
Oh, my God.
No,
you have to sit down. I mean, you got to...
You gotta produce?
Well, you know what's funny is they ran on E! True Hollywood Story, they ran Ginger Lynn last night. And I got a couple of good Ginger Lynn movies.
Oh.
Yeah. and I knew they were running it all day. And I hadn't beat off. And I was thinking, well, wait a minute. It was like 7:45, and I was like, geez, I really should be beating off. And it's like, oh, no, wait a minute. Ginger Lynn, E! True Hollywood Story starts at 8. And if I can make it through like 45 minutes to an hour of that and then pop in my Ginger Lynn tape, it's going to be the 4th of July in my den. But I'm staring at my dick for like an hour going, hold, no, shh, shh, no, my pretty.
Oh, my God.
Not yet. Oh, and it's like 6:55, 7:15, and I'm like, oh, okay. So now it... Now at like 7:57, I go upstairs like, okay, I'm going to get the video. I'm going to prime it. You know, I'm going to get it set up. I'm going to queue it up. So I'll put it in there. But I'm going to watch. God damn it, I'm going to watch at least 20 minutes of this before I'm making deals with my... I'm a 38-year-old man.
Deal-making addiction, baby. And let me guess how the actual outcome was. 7:02 and 35 seconds.
Yeah, you're going to have it. Yeah, it was like... The boom, 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 boom.
The Ginger Lynn Ginger,
story. Oh, Christ. Oh, jeez, I got to watch 60 Minutes. Got to get that Andy Rooney cool down. That's my refractory period. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Line. I'm Adam. That's Doc Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. So, got two more fillings today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And let me say this, Drew.
Huh.
I know you've had an ass full of my mouth.
Oh, my God.
But I began the regular checkups, the regular cleanings, and the regular maintenance on my mouth about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Since then, the cavity total
tripled.
It's gone up.
Yeah.
It's gone up. So, the sort of you must do this and you must do that, I don't believe it hurts, but it's not what it's cracked up to be.
Mm.
It's like you get to the dentist. I hadn't seen the dentist in 10 years, so I get there and it's like, oh man, yeah, you got some cavities. You know why? Because you weren't coming in for checkups, you weren't getting your regular cleanings, you weren't... Okay, all right. Why are you giving me a filling every 4 months now that I've been with you for 6 months with the clean? Here's what I'm saying. If you can say to me, hey, you've been doing this and you haven't been doing your job and now you got to pay the fiddler, I think after 6 years of scheduled cleanings and fluoride treatments and things like that, at what point do I get to point at you and go, hey, what you doing?
Yeah.
Remember your life. How about an apology? Remember the part where you were making me feel like a jackass for not coming to visit you 10 years ago? As it turns out, no different. And here's the other thing about the dentist. Does plaque really have to look like a gremlin all the time? That's going at the tooth with a jackhammer and a drawing?
Yeah, what, boogeyman.
What's everything in the dentist? Why is it only chicks, kids and retarded people that go to the dentist? Is there any guys that go to a dentist? There's never a car magazine. There's never a Playboy. It's always some drawing of the plaque. It's a drawing of like Mr. Plaque. He's like the spot maker was from the Calgon commercial, you know? And he's attacking Mr. Tooth and he's like chasing him with a pick. What the F is going on here? Look, there are three kids who come through these doors, and there's 250 adults for every three kids who come through the door. Why does it got to look like Dr. Seuss is running this goddamn place? And the thing they send you to remind you it's time for the checkup? Mr. Tooth, yeah. And he's sword fighting with a toothbrush against Mr. Plaque. You don't have a separate set of cards for the adults. It's really got to look like I'm in a... Like I had some severe head trauma, and you gotta remind me, like I am Sam or something.
Sam, I am.
Just please have the dignified cards, the ones that say, Mr. Carolla.
You're due
for your teeth clean. Not the swashbuckling tooth who's swinging down on a rope to attack the pirate ship full of plaque. It makes me feel like an idiot going to this dentist. I think I'm going to get like a bib with the grimace on it. Oh yeah. So the dentist got a little offended when I explained to him. Maybe it was just a nitrous talking, but I explained I had a few things I had to tell him before. Then he could get to raping my mouth. That's what I described it. He was put off a little by the rape comment as it pertained to my mouth. But that's the way I look at it. Good look time. At his mouth rape. Nice. Got my nitrous. Feeling good. Huh. Was sucking up some nitrous, listening to my earphones, and a Rush song came on. Huh. And I was like, yeah, this is good. I'm back in high school. Right. This is hot.
That's good being back in high school.
Well, I really got, you know, with the nitrous in me, I was in the dental chair about noon today. I was pumped full of nitrous, and I was thinking to myself, you know, this dentist sucks, these cavities suck, this whole trip sucks, but I thought, how often do you get nitrous? Almost never. I thought, well, here you go, you get nitrous. You get a chick in a smock strapping you up to nitrous. You're just sitting there, and I don't even tell her. I just sit in the chair and I lean back. All of a sudden, I feel this thing strap across my nose. It's like, good times. So I thought, all right, you're getting your tooth drilled, but you know what? You're getting nitrous. Not bad, right?
Evidently.
Yeah. Justin, you got to try that nitrous, Drew. It's great. Justin, you're 22.
Yes.
You're dating a stripper?
We actually were, yes, and we're still off and on now currently, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, me and her, yeah.
Okay, all right. We're doing
we've just been off and on, and it's been some serious problems, and nobody I talk to can give me a straight, honest answer, and, you know, I don't know what to do. And
right.
we were
try
the show, and right. I thought to call.
All right, so. Let's go. What's up?
Topless or bottomless?
Actually, all of the above. All of the above. Mm-hmm. But the big problem was, it wasn't going to be a serious thing at all. And then it turned out to be after a couple days. We really got serious, started sleeping together. And it got kind of serious. She actually told me she was pregnant. And
wait a minute. What's the word serious mean to you?
Serious, really, we were just going to be friends. We weren't going to know what's going on. And from there...
You weren't going to know what's going on?
Well, we were actually planning on just being friends. We had just gotten both out of serious relationships. And
you were hanging out with a stripper just to be friends? Give me a
you
break.
Know, it's, we actually met. That's not how we met at all. We had met actually just driving down the road.
Yeah, and you saw her and almost jumped out of your car to just be her friend.
Not exactly. It worked out as it was kind of a mutual thing. We had pulled over and...
What was she driving, a Jeep?
She was a Civic, actually, Honda Civic.
I find a lot of strippers drive Jeeps. I don't know why. I mean, it's a Southern California thing. Yeah. All right, so you're 22. How old is she?
She's actually 20.
20. Yeah, okay, all right. Well, look, is she pregnant now?
She actually has a 5-year-old child already.
Since she was 15, she had a child.
Yes, and that was a serious problem with the guy before, and we had become really, really intense. Really
all right,
serious.
So now what? She's still pregnant or what?
You know, see, that's the thing I want to know. So far, after we've been talking off and on, like I had said a couple times, at first it was no. You know, no, I'm not pregnant anymore. And then, you know, sometimes she'll throw it back out there to where I think, you know, I don't know what to do.
Okay, well.
You're in over your head with this. You don't really understand.
And a lot of my friends say, you know what, really, you need to let it go. And she's just playing games.
Well, whatever she's going to do, she's going to do.
Right.
Well, look, Justin.
Yes.
She is a damaged, psychologically, seriously damaged piece of machinery. And
this has been warned, I know.
This whole notion that you have that things were intense, they're intense because that's what happens with people with this kind of personality disorder.
Right.
It's like chaotic and intense and out of control, but that is not a close, loving, intimate relationship. It's all going on in your head.
Right.
Well, I mean, look, you guys can have a ton of passion for each other, but that's not necessarily the same as love. But look, you're 22, she's a stripper, who cares? But here's the thing, Justin. Yeah.
Right.
She has had some serious abuse in her day, I'm sure, and she has many, many issues, and they're much bigger than you can take on. Or even she can take on right now.
Right.
If she stopped stripping tomorrow, found Jehovah.
That's what she's been talking about.
And
exactly.
Started going to therapy. Does she want to find Jehovah?
No, not
okay.
Exactly.
Stop
stripping.
Okay. Stripping and go to therapy full time in about 6 years.
You might have something worth.
You could have a date with her.
Right.
Yes. It's chaos.
Here's the reality. She's not going to stop stripping.
That's the thing. I mean, it didn't even bother me. But the thing is, after we had talked and after the whole pregnancy issue came up, we got in one argument. And 2 days later, she had actually been with somebody else.
Okay. Well, yeah. Look.
Oh, Justin, please.
And that.
Listen, but this is, here's the thing. People never disappoint.
Mm-hmm.
Smart people don't disappoint. Stupid people don't disappoint. Screwed up people don't disappoint. Just like Drew doesn't disappoint on the good side of things.
I can tell that. Drew's a brilliant man. He never disappoints.
Well, it's not really having anything to do with smart. It's more scared. But the point is those are semantics. Drew does not disappoint on a good side.
He means on the uptight side.
And on the bad side, people don't disappoint.
Right.
I mean, you know, sort of think about that. I've never really thought about that concept. But I mean,
you're like a criminal.
The guys you know that are rock solid, salt of the earth, show up 10 minutes early and always do the right thing.
Yeah.
Those kind of guys. No one I know really, but like some friend's dad, maybe one of these guys.
Yeah,
they never disappoint.
Yeah,
and effed up people, they don't disappoint either. They do effed up stuff. This chick's effed up. Don't if she's not pregnant, don't get her pregnant. Have your kicks, but don't get in deep with this. I wish we could. I we never make guys fully understand this. And here's the thing too about stripping. Topless, she's got some issues. Bottomless, that's a serious handful. There's a big difference there. I know it doesn't sound like much, but there is.
Strangely.
Hey, well, what's the difference between, you know, modeling and topless? The difference between modeling and topless is about the difference between topless and bottomless.
Yeah.
If you really break it down.
Right.
Allie?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, last night I had sex with my boyfriend. And he went like deep, you know, and he went so deep that it kind of made me want to gag. And I'm kind of wondering if there's something wrong with me or if that's normal.
You mean you got nauseated?
Not really nauseated. You know, like if you're like, you know, trying to throw up, you like put your finger down your throat kind of thing. That it's just kind of how that felt. Like it just, I wanted to gag.
Hold on a second. Drew.
Yeah.
If there was a gun to your head right now.
Yeah.
And someone said, does she mean she was having oral sex or intercourse? What would you say? And would you be nervous about your answer?
I would be nervous. And that's exactly what I was trying to sort of clarify without revealing that I couldn't tell the difference.
She said having sex.
At first, I thought for sure she was talking about oral sex. But then she...
But she did say, I was having sex and he went so deep.
Yeah.
And that was intercourse.
Yeah.
Then the gag part came in.
Like a finger down the throat. Throws you off again.
Yeah. I'm going oral sex.
I'm going intercourse.
You going intercourse?
Yeah.
You want to gamble?
I don't have my wallet with it, but I'm willing to...
What do you do with your wallet?
It's in the car. Yeah.
Really? Okay, you put a buck up?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I go oral.
I'm going intercourse.
Okay. Allie?
Yeah?
What were you doing with your boyfriend?
We were having sex.
Intercourse?
Yeah.
Not oral sex?
Nothing in your mouth?
No, there's nothing in my mouth.
All right.
So the gagging was sort of a visceral response to... Did you have pain, too?
A little bit, but... no.
That's what happens sometimes.
All I got is a tender.
All right, well, you owe me a buck.
Yeah, all right, buddy.
That's sometimes what happens when you hit sort of a visceral stimulation, a visceral response.
Really? The throwing up part? I mean, the heaving part? Why the depth? What's the connection with that, Drew?
That's what it's hitting the viscera. It's actually getting into her abdomen. You know what I'm saying?
Is that the viscera? Where's the viscera?
Viscera is inside the abdominal cavity. And it's stimulating things from the outside. It's really getting inside her body. It's like if she were getting punched deeply, super deep. And it's very similar to being hit in the nuts. Because that's viscera that hangs away from your body.
All right. Well, there it is, Allie.
Okay.
You got stabbed by penis in your viscera.
Tell him to cool out a little bit.
Okay.
All right.
Tell him to get a little distance, all right?
Okay.
You get on top and, you know, mark the twine.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thanks, guys.
Drew gave me a crazy, crazy Mark Twain look.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Well, you know where Mark Twain got his name, right? Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, he made it up. That's all I know.
Oh, Drew, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's his name? Samuel Clemens?
Yeah.
Okay, so Mark Twain got his name, apparently, allegedly, because, you know, on the river boats.
There were levels of the boat or something?
They would hang the twine off the front of the boat to, so they wouldn't hit a sand barge. I mean, so they wouldn't hit a sandbank. Because, you know, they had to have 5 feet of water, 4 feet of water, whatever, to get this paddle boat. And so the guys would yell out, you know, Mark Twain, Mark the Twain kind of thing.
Interesting.
So anyway, it's a depth.
Never knew that.
Never knew that.
I always thought that was called a plumb line.
No, plumb line. Plumb line is
that's just, for straightening or something.
Well, plumb is vertical level.
Right.
So meaning, if you're trying to put a level, if you're leveling some shelves, it's level. But if you're doing a door jam, it's plumbing.
Or plimsoll? Is there something called which are lines on the side of the
boat? That was a band from your your youth.
Where's my dictionary?
I don't want to talk about this anymore. Here, what do you want to look up? Plimsoll?
It's something like that.
Here's all I'm saying. I just said Mark the Twain because
the depth vagina.
Of the penis there.
Got it.
All right,
very
buddy.
Well done.
Drew's never said well done to me in 7 years of radio.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that well done because it took 15 minutes to explain it.
Well, that's good.
All right. Drew's looking at plimsoll. Brandon?
Yeah.
You're 15. What's up?
Like 2 days ago, I was at a party with my friend, and another friend dared me and my friend Scott to put Icy Hot on our balls.
Already suspicious.
Right?
Yeah, and I was wondering if that would have any problems or effects.
What about that, Drew? I mean, your nads are sort of porous, and you can feel stuff.
Plimsoll mark. A set of a load line markings on an ocean liner.
Interesting. Oh, we did. You know what? I've had this discussion with somebody before about the band. Plimsolls. The plimsoll mark is the mark on the side of the ship that says what the water level is.
Yeah.
All right.
And I guess it sets the cargo load.
Next time I'm going to work the plimsoll line
plimsoll
in when
line.
A girl's got her
mark.
Uterus pierced by a long penis. Okay. Total vindication for Dr. Drew, by the way. Okay, so Brandon.
Yeah.
Icy hot on the nuts.
Right.
Yeah, you're fine.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you and Scott.
You and your buddy Scott, all right?
Okay.
All right, just don't do it anymore, all right?
Well, it hurt really bad.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, hey, you know, if you put your nuts in a blender, it hurts?
Uh-huh.
Okay, buddy.
All right.
Just a little heads up in case someone tries to dare you and your friend Scott to do something foolish again. Yeah. Now, the nuts, like, put it this way.
The nuts.
Let me tell you about the nuts. If you take gasoline.
Oh, porous.
I've had this happen before. You take some gasoline. You dip it on a rag and you rub it on your elbow or on your knee, you don't really feel the gasoline. But if a drop of that gets on your nutsack, you feel it.
Do you think the Moby has ever put the gasoline on the nuts?
He may have had some acid dumped on his penis. But, Drew, what about that? Stop looking through that dictionary, by the way. Right. Why is the nuts... what is that feeling? I mean, it feels like it's porous. It feels like...
It's a thinner layer of skin, and it's so things are more easily irritated. It's like a burn at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like you spilling something, like spilling some red wine on a glass coffee table, it's fine. Spill it on some cloth, and it stains.
Yeah.
That's what the nuts to me are like the body's drapery. Whereas, you know, my ass, that's the glass coffee table.
Okay.
Put a cigarette out on my ass. I'm fine.
Provided it doesn't go up in flames. Got all that Santa Claus's beard hanging around there.
That's true. Well, during the summer, I you know, the fire department has me trim it back.
Fire breaks.
I had to put sprinklers on my balls.
Oh,
actually,
nice.
Yeah, but the point is, my ass is plenty tough because it's taken a real beating over the years. But my nuts...
By the way.
My nuts, you get a little gas. Like, I've had this happen. I work on something, I get gas in my hand, I scratch my nuts, I feel the burn.
Yeah.
It's just the thinner skin, more sensitive skin.
Thinner skin. Thinner.
But, you know, I swear, it would burn more than if it hit your eyelid, even, you know? It's not thinner than your eyelid, but it's like a different skin.
Different skin, yeah.
Is it the sort of feels like it's more porous, like things are being absorbed into it?
Yeah.
All right, Natalie.
Hello.
You're 20.
Yes.
What's up, baby?
Well, I've been smoking weed since I was 16. Mm-hmm. And, like, recently I stopped, and I'm having massive headaches, and I can't sleep.
That's marijuana withdrawal.
Yeah.
So what are you doing?
And I take, like, Advils and Motrins, and nothing seems to work.
Yeah, well, again, that will not work. This is... There are treatments for marijuana withdrawal syndrome. We usually use what are called intermediate-acting benzodiazepines or barbiturates to suppress the withdrawal. There are other things to stabilize the mood. The depression that's going to hit you right around now can be very, very severe. I've got a couple people in treatment.
Yeah, because I suffer from depression already.
Well, that's the pot causes that.
Why did you stop smoking the pot? Were you being tested?
Yeah, because I have a job with security. Like, I'm a security guard.
Right. Because I figured you wouldn't be stopping otherwise.
No.
Yeah, all right. It's interesting. People don't stop doing their drugs unless something happens and makes them stop. You know, I always ask people, why stopping? What's motivating you? Oh, I just don't want to live my life with drugs anymore. No, never.
Well, but never that's then. Not what Natalie said.
No, she said she had to stop. She knew
someone was getting her to stop because she's 20. She usually got a good 18, 20 more years of weed smoking ahead of you.
Well, but she's really got the consequences going that she's getting depressed. And why don't you get someone to evaluate that? Somebody is used to dealing with the marijuana depression syndrome.
Okay? How does she do that?
You got to see a doctor. Preferably a psychiatrist who has some addiction medicine history.
It's been how long since you quit, Natalie?
It's going on a month.
Going on a month.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot. That's longer than it. That really is probably more. Well, the sleeplessness can go on for 6 months.
There's a little depression in there, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
What kind of?
Like, I'm on Paxil, and usually it used to get me sleepy, but, like, I'd be wide awake.
Yeah, maybe you're not enough. Possibly not enough of that. Possibly that's not the right medication for you. Okay?
Okay.
And then, again, you need to get in some kind of recovery program because it is really, it's addiction you're dealing with here, and if that's not treated, the depression isn't going to get much better.
What kind of security are you doing?
Like, I security guard. Like, I watch schools and stuff like that.
All right. Hey, you doing a good job?
Yeah.
Yeah. A little weed probably make you a little better at your job.
I wish.
Yeah. All right, baby. Take care of yourself.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye. Hey,
keep watching them kids. Security. Security guards. I'm trying to think. My school always had... There was always a little gray area between the janitor and the security guard. Not quite sure which one was who. Sort of husky black guy with a lot of keys making his way down the hall with a certain sense of purpose in his walk. Kind of, my school was sort of part, yeah, I think he did both.
Yeah, you had part prison in your school.
Well, my school was set up like a prison, yeah. All L.A. Unified schools are set up like a prison.
Naturally enough, most of the students behave like prisoners.
Well, it's you know, they're just housing them is all they're doing. You got a nice high fence. You got a security guard standing at every opening. You can't get on or off. You know, you need the right papers to get it to in or out of the place. It's a good time. Everything's sort of burnt orange and brown and gray. It's all. Listen, I went to a prison 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Looked like my high school.
Homecoming.
It was my high school, except it was a little bit bigger. And
some of the same people.
I think the food was better. Yeah, I did notice some guys from my graduating class.
Nice.
They're doing good. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Nicole. She wants to know about the bases. She's 15. She's getting to that point where she's going to need to know after this. Everybody, Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Doc Drew over there. Oh, we don't need to give that pesky phone number out. I'll give you enough of that. You know what's amazing about this show? I always take for granted. I want to thank everyone for calling in. I know I make fun of a lot of you, but sometimes I listen to other radio shows and I realize they even say it. They're waiting for some calls to come up. They make a little small talk. Wait till some call comes up.
Oh boy.
We have a problem with having too many people call the show, which is it's a good problem to have. So thanks for calling. Nicole?
Yes?
Oh, what's up?
What's up, Nicole?
Well, you want to know about the bases?
Yes. I'm 14 and my boyfriend's 16, and I'm not as much experienced as he thinks I am.
You're not as experienced as you think.
Yeah, and he always says, like, when can we round third base? And I need to know what the bases are first.
Oh, boy.
Anal sex. Third is anal.
Mm-hmm.
And home plate? he kills you and films it.
Okay.
You writing that down?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's okay. All right, hang on. Well, I think I covered it. When can I round third? Nicole?
Mm-hmm.
I was just kidding. He maims you and then he films. No. Third is, well, I got to talk to his base running coach because it used to be digital stimulation.
I think it still is. They sort of added oral sex between, it's sort of shortstop.
Uh-huh.
No. Oral is they added between third and home.
No.
Well, hold on a second.
Okay.
Tommy Lasorda, how can they have digital stimulation on third?
They basically
and have.
Well,
yeah, that's the, that they call that the hot corner, by the way, the digital. And no, the oral. If you're going to add
a
shortstop, you're going to have to add it. You're going to have to add it between home and third.
Or maybe the digital's become shortstop and the oral sex is now third.
That's what I'm worried about. What have you done with him so far?
Well, I've done oral sex with him. Like, I've given oral to him, and that's pretty much it.
And this son of a bitch wants to know when you're going to get to third base?
I guess he doesn't know either.
Has he put his hands on you anywhere?
No, not really. Just me on him.
Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Maybe he wants to put his mouth on your parts down there?
That could be.
And how many times have you rounded third with him?
Three?
Yeah.
No,
it's ironic that it's three times. Are you comfortable with this?
Yeah, it's okay.
That's what I love about women. They're long for the ride until they're like 37. It's great. What dynamite, ladies. Mm. Yeah, it's all right. Take it or leave it.
Whatever.
Yeah. And, okay. And I mean, you'd rather get your nails done, right?
Yeah.
Great. Oh, well, Nicole. Listen, baby, you're 14 years old. How about slowing it down a little bit?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Leave it where you are. Don't round anything.
Okay.
That's enough. I mean, you guys can make out and feel up and everything, but you're going to get pregnant at 15. Mm.
Yeah, okay.
Be careful. This guy's getting enough.
Okay.
He's fine.
Yeah, and by the way, this notion that somehow you have to keep him happy or if you don't do things, he'll leave you. Hey, the guy's an idiot. He's a dick if that's what he does.
Right.
Then why do women think that way?
Well, women, here's the problem with women. They're like the black community.
Oh.
There's a lot of talk about unity and putting money back in the system, and then they get together at a rap concert and they beat the crap out of each other.
I see.
That's really what happens. Lots of talk about getting together.
Empowerment.
Then they beat the crap out of each other.
So in other words, women...
Yes, that's the same thing. It's what goes on.
Women do.
Same as the blacks.
But anyway,
that's right.
But they
black women, ironically, not like the black
women. They subjugate themselves for fear that some other woman's going to step in? So it's sort of a lack of unity, is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying women talk about uniting a lot. But the reality is for most 15-year-olds, especially if they're dating a guy, and she's 14, by the way, but your average 15, 16-year-old girl might be dating 17, 18-year-old guy. Their feeling is if I don't step in and give this guy what he wants, he's just going to go find it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I better give it to him.
So it's other women they're competing against.
Yeah, he's going to get it from some chick named Tammy, if not for me. And if he can only stay with me for a very finite period of time before if I don't give it to him,
right.
Before he's going to go get it from somewhere else. It's like women, it's like you become, your vagina becomes like a store. You know, it's like, hey, if we're out of stock of something, like he keeps coming in wanting cigarettes and we don't have any in the vagina store.
You can stop coming?
Just stop coming in. Yeah. It's going down the street. Now, Brian wrote
what's scary is that assessment is not that far off in terms of guys. But that's not the customer you want, the customer that behaves like that.
And that wasn't an analogy. I was actually talking about a place called the Vagina Store.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You ever been there?
Well,
they sell cigarettes. They're out of cigarettes.
Next door to only simply C-rings and lava lamps.
That's right. All right, Brian wrote down the bases, phone screen of Brian on the screen, as he sees them, I guess. Brian, this looks a little aggressive. He's got first base is feeling up. He's got second base is fingering. He's got third is oral. And sex is home. Sex has always been home. I think oral has gone from, third base has gone from fingering to oral. But that doesn't necessarily mean second base has changed.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
First base still has to be kissing. Second base still has to be feeling up
above the waist,
but now it can veer below as well.
Right,
I think is what's going on. We need to add a base. It's high time we added a base. Tricia,
yeah,
you're 15. I'm trying to think of a sport. We got to get rid of the bases. We just got to get a sport like basketball. We need a fifth. We need a basketball team. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? We get rid of bases and we get rid of the basketball team.
Yeah, I'm just listening to Trisha's feigned amusement. That was more amusing to me than what you were saying.
We could use the Lakers. Like, you could do like, Kobe could be kissing and Shaq could be, Shaq could be like anal rape or something. No, Shaq would be sex. You know, it'd work like Rick Fox would be oral. I'm going to work this out.
It's a good way to spend your time.
Thank you. Tricia?
Yeah.
15, and you want to date your male friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's dating your best friend.
Yeah. I set them up also.
Ooh.
And he was always your friend, or he was your friend well before they started going out?
Well, yeah, he was my friend from the beginning of the year, and I tried to set him up with my other best friend.
Why was he your friend? Why weren't you dating him?
Because he wasn't interested in me.
Okay.
I don't even know if he still is right now.
Well, he's dating your friend.
Yeah.
Well, that's who he's interested in, is your friend.
Guys don't get interested, by the way.
Yeah, you can't take a guy from a no to a yes.
But
no.
He used to be, like, really sweet to her and stuff, and now he's, like, kind of drifting away. And he's, like, last night we went out on a group date or whatever.
What do you mean a group date?
Well, like, it was Alexandra, Charlie,
you got all this out.
Dan, Kaylee, and me.
Oh, of course.
Oh, that's, hold on, that's Josie and the Pussycats. Those aren't real people. Well, yeah. All right. You named a bunch of guys, and now you went out. Who was your date?
I didn't have one.
They were just hanging out with a group.
Yeah,
that's not a group date.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, okay, whatever.
A bunch of friends went out.
Yeah.
Okay. And what happened?
Okay, well, Charlie kind of, he sat next to me, and, like, we were making eye contact, and he was kind of, like flirting with me. And he totally ignored Alexandra, which is his girlfriend.
Right.
And then I had to go outside because I was getting sick.
Shaggy got hungry?
Huh?
No. Okay, so, look, guys oftentimes ignore the chicks they're dating when they're out, especially young guys in groups.
Right.
Okay. The part I'm worried about is the part about him not liking you the first time around.
Yeah, because guys don't go from that to wanting to go out.
Okay, well, because I went outside because I was sick, and he followed me, and we started making out.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You went out because you were sick and he started making out with you?
You were vomiting?
No, the food was, like, nasty and I don't know. I guess I wasn't hungry or something.
Hold on a second.
Wait a minute.
How does that work where, like, someone's sitting down and they get hold of, like, a bad chili dog and they go, I don't know if it's the food. I don't know I need some air. I got to get out. I'm not feeling well. You go out and start making out with someone who's in danger of heaving at any moment?
I don't know.
Tricia?
Yeah?
You were feeling sick because of the food?
Yeah.
And then you started making out with him?
What was the real reason you went out back? To try to lure him out there?
No. I was really feeling sick.
Why did he follow you out there and no one else?
I guess to make sure I was okay. He's like my best friend out of the whole group.
And he started making out with you?
Yeah.
Is he drinking or anything?
Huh?
Was he drinking or anything?
No.
How old is he?
15.
What had you eaten just because it's going to be fun to think about you guys making out with some of that left in your mouth? Egg salad?
No, I just had a piece of bread.
What was the food that was so nauseating then?
The bread.
Yeah.
I haven't been eating for 3 days because it just makes me sick right now.
Why?
I don't know.
Do you have an eating disorder?
No.
Are you severely depressed?
No.
Not normal to get sick when you try to eat. So what's going on there?
I don't know. I haven't been hungry.
All right.
Because of this whole thing with this kid?
No. I don't know. Look, ask him out. Call him up. You have his number?
Yeah.
I'm just getting just total chaos.
I know. Listen, I don't know what's up with you. What's up with you?
I don't know.
Your family a mess?
Not really.
All right. Everything's great. You just don't never want to eat?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what? And just never eat and die in 3 weeks.
Well, it's pretty serious.
I know, but talking to her was like, it was like talking to the change slot of a payphone.
Mm.
Huh? I didn't know. I got sick. I guess the food. What'd you eat? Nothing. What happened? No. What'd you eat? Bread? I never eat bread. I ate bread. I don't know. I didn't eat. You don't eat? No. Why? You don't feel depressed? No, huh? Well, why? What do you say? You like this guy? No. No, yeah. I don't eat. Listen, I'm done ringing people for answers. If 15-year-old girl, if you can't hold a conversation. I mean, look, if you say to somebody, I have not eaten in 3 days, and they act a little concerned, and you're sort of surprised by it, huh? What? What do you mean? Look, do we really need you? So eat, don't eat, do whatever you're going to do. I'm sure she'll eat when she gets hungry. As far as the guy goes, I don't know. Ask him out. See what he says.
The whole situation.
Don't get pregnant. Yeah, don't get pregnant.
That's like a mess.
That's all.
This is not the usual situation with a male friend that she's trying to. These are kids that are just involved in sort of a little chaotic tryst here. You know what I'm saying?
I think they like it.
Yeah, they like the chaos.
Yeah. All right. John.
Yeah. I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah. You get a pain on the left side of your neck and head after you orgasm?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And sometimes it goes down to the arm, and it happens a lot after sex, and sometimes it'll happen if I'm in extreme hot weather.
Huh.
And it's been it's happened ever since I got an ablation on my heart about a year and a half ago. And
oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow. What's an ablation, Drew? What's that down
it's
the heart?
It's where you have what are called accessory pathways for rhythm. The abnormal rhythms come out of the top part of the heart into the ventricles. It probably has something called Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome or something like that. And they go in there with a wire and they burn out this little piece of the heart to try to prevent these electrical circuits from being able to be transmitted through the heart.
Mm-hmm. All I can think of is wanting to eat bread now, by the way. Something with his
restaurant
heart.
Bread. Yeah, we'll talk about it. It's a very good question. Interesting.
All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. We got some of the cast of Blue Crush coming in here on Wednesday. And I got two thumbs up at the movies. Looking forward to it. I love those movies. I'm a little disappointed I got two thumbs up because when they're bad, I like those kind of movies even more. Insane Clown Posse, Coldplay. Coldplay?
Yeah.
We had Coldplay in here, did we not? Oh, we never had Coldplay.
No, they did a Winnie Roast a year and a half ago, and they didn't come in.
Oh, sons of bitches. That's a good band, that Coldplay. Yeah. I hope they're not a-holes.
British.
Uh-oh. Tom Arnold's going to be in here next week. Speaking of British a-holes. All right. Let's trudge forward, shall we, Drew?
Yeah.
Talking to John.
John. Ablation.
Heart ablation. Problem with heart.
Did you have Wolff Parkinson White?
What was that? I'm sorry.
Did you have Wolff Parkinson White syndrome? What'd you have?
AFib.
Atrial fib. Wow.
Yeah, and that's why they did it. It's basically because I used to do a lot of drugs and drink a lot. Stopped that, but in the alcohol used to bring on the AFib, so finally they
actually call that. There's actually a name for that. It's called holiday heart syndrome.
Yeah.
Atrial fib from alcoholism.
Isn't that a Doris Day movie?
Mm, yeah, could be. And so it became persistent, and they were trying.
Yeah, I had to be converted over a few times. So finally, they said to.
Jeez. The ablation for atrial fib is kind of tough to do. So,
yeah, and it hasn't really worked because I'm still taking Camacor.
Yeah, in fact, you ought to really talk to your electrophysiologist again because the more recent sort of opinions about this suggest that you ought to just stay in atrial fib and take the Coumadin and be done with it. Not even attempt repeated. Not at least try to have repeated attempts at conversion. It's not worth it.
He has an electrocardiologist?
Electrophysiologist, yeah.
Ugh. It's bad when you got one of those before 30, right?
Yeah, atrial fib under the age of 30 is a pretty big deal. have to be blood and blood thinners the rest of his life, probably. Let me ask a couple more questions. You're on Tamiflu. Are you on Coumadin still?
No, I never took that. Just Tamiflu. Before Tamiflu, I was taking Beta Pace, Solitol. Yeah. That was too. That was just dragging me down too much.
Sotalol.
Yeah, Sotalol. And then because I was having these spells, almost fainting.
All right. Well, these medicines, these antiarrhythmic medication, can definitely affect orgasm and cause headaches and things. So that might be part of the deal. Whether or not the ablation, the procedure, actually causing this neck and head and arm pain during orgasm, it's an interesting, really interesting question. I've never heard of that. You sort of have to talk to the electrophysiologist that does these procedures all the time to see if it's been reported. There's nothing that immediately comes to mind about the anatomy that would cause this. It doesn't make sense. Although there's apparently information flowing up and down the vagus nerve, which is something that is activated during orgasm. So maybe something to that.
Speaking of the vagus nerve, I am going to be taking a party bus with about 40 guys to Vegas tomorrow for Cousin Sal's bachelor party. So I'll be coming at you from Vegas, most likely to studio.
Oh,
that's,
you are going to be so effing loaded.
Well,
please.
I'm going to be loaded by about 1:30 in the afternoon tomorrow on this bus, so I should start coming down around 8-9 o'clock. I'll be fine. Be fine.
Oh, God.
Thinking of, I was just thinking of. I went to my barber today, by the way, and the guy from Spain, the guy who calls Volvo. The Volvo the Bobo, and the Saab the Saab.
Nice. Did he trade his Bobo for a Saab?
No, not yet. Yeah, but he's one of these, you know, foreigners, they don't mince words, really, because they can't. There's not much nuance.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen him in a year or so, and he just gave me...
you were tired?
Well, he just makes you really think about your life and your career. He goes, oh, this Adam, how are you? Hey, you're good. I see on Howard Stern, you the man, he farted on the girl's head. He farted on her head for so long, he farted. Was that the real fart? You were there. I saw you. I think this cannot be real.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a real fart. Oh, he farted for an hour on her head. On the girl head. And they go, I like when people explain to you stuff where you were there. The girl, she lie down. The man, he get on her head, he fart. Yeah. You were there. You were laughing. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Is it good? Yeah, it's good. I start thinking, what the hell's happening in my life? I see on TV. I like it. Foreigners are great because they just explain to you your life exactly, basically. It's such a thrill for them to be speaking in a different language. That's what ends up happening. I see on TV. Yes, you do. I hear radio. I hear still radio. That's right. And the girl, they fart on her head. Yeah. That's right. They fart. For a long time, yes. Yeah, that's right. Long. Yeah, so, you know, they fart, you know. That's the conversation I have with the guy. And then they describe stuff. You're good because you're tall. You're tall, and that is good. That's good. I'm tall. That's right. Nice guy. But okay. I realize the foreigners are really just, they echo back the obvious to you, and then you just repeat it back to them. You nod your head. That's it. You go to a restaurant. You order the burrito. Yes, this is good. This is good. The burrito is good. That's right. Yeah, it's good. Yes, good. Good. Yes, good. Good, right? Good. Yes, thank you. That really conversation? It's positive. It's good. You were there? Yes. She farted on head. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bill?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Hey, nice to have the opportunity to speak with you guys. This relates back to the girl that you were talking to earlier that was having headaches because of... stopping smoking pot and whatnot, and Adam, you had made a comment stating that she had, you know, there obviously there was a reason for her to quit, you know, and you deducted because of her getting this job, that was the reason why she had quit using the drugs.
That's what she said.
That's what you deduced.
And then she confirmed that.
That's right.
But you were basically what you were trying to say is that there is always a reason, something like that, for a person to quit using drugs.
Yeah, I have treated about 10,000 people for drug and alcohol addiction, and I've never had one not have something motivate them.
Same guy 10,000 times, though, to be fair. Exactly.
Well, I've done, or should I say, I had smoked pot. I've done meth for years. Mm-hmm. I basically just get tired of the monotony.
The people
I was dealing with, the money that I was spending.
There's your consequence. You lost the job, spent a lot of money.
No, I know what Bill... Hold on, is this Bill W., by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. What I was saying... Here's the other thing. Our callers are a lot like the foreigners. They echo back exactly what I said. I said to her, you stop because of the job, right? Right. And by the way, don't argue with me when I'm right.
Oh, yeah.
She said yes, and I said yes, and I knew she stopped. And I said, that's right. The reason I knew is because you're 20. Now, I said 15, 20 years from now, 35, 40. I could see you burning out on it and quitting on your own. But... this doesn't happen at 20. And I made the age distinction. Bill, this is what's happened with you. How long have you been sober?
Oh, Jesus. 4 or 5 years.
Okay, so you stopped in your 30s, like I said she would stop. And, yeah, Drew, I don't want to get into semantics here. You stopped on your own. You got burnt out on the...
You lost a job, lost a lot of money. That's consequence. That's why people then go... When you say, what's happening in your life? Well, I lost my wife, I lost my job. They don't think about those things as causing the motivation, but that's where the motivation comes from.
Yeah. I take some offense to Bill's point, which was I was wrong saying that nobody ever stops, whatever. But I basically was exactly right with her and explained what happened to Bill.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
There we go.
That's the show, everybody. Fantastic. God bless you for tuning in.
Wow, you're getting sort of thankful
to
our listeners.
I really mean it.
And callers, too. You were very unusually clement tonight.
Well, you know, a lot of shows say that the show is you, is the listeners, is the callers. That's the show. I've always said that's ridiculous. Are you high? But I'm really starting to think maybe that is the show, Joe.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That could be just a clever ploy to get you people to listen. You'll never know. We'll take a little extended break. I'll be in Vegas tomorrow night. Bachelor party. Cousin Sal. 40 crazy guys.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be great. Jimmy will be there. Daniel, look out. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.